Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here to kick off the weekend. It's Easter weekend. It's Good Friday, and we're going to have a great show here talking Walt Disney World, getting you excited and ready for your next trip. If you're going this summer, lots of things to think about. It's kind of a little primer just of a lot of happenings that have happened lately. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're headed down to a Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, work with the best. Work with an earmarked platinum agency such as the Magic for Less Travel. There's great specials out there. It's going to be an incredible summer down at Walt Disney World. There are incredible discounts for that trip right now. So drop by themagicforless.com for all the details there. And hey, runners and friends and family of runners, we have great marathon group rates right now for the Cheer Group 4 2019 at Pop Century, Riverside, Caribbean Beach, Beach Club, and the Polynesian. Just drop me a line and we can get you some pricing. They're so good. We can't say them here on the air, but I can get you the details via email. So if you are a lizard or you want to go down for Marathon Weekend 2019, we're booking into the group right now. Plenty of rooms, but you want to book that early rather than later because these are some outstanding rates. So check out all the details and drop me a line. I'm Mike.Rallman at themagicforless.com or check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, as you do all of that online shopping this weekend, please support the show by using our Amazon affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1308 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday. Happy Good Friday to you. It is the Easter weekend, so hopefully this weekend finds you with friends and family and celebrating the season. So let's get to today's topic. We're going to be talking about things to make your incredible summer vacation down at Walt Disney World even better. We've talked about some of these topics in the past. We haven't really dived into the details, you know, talked about exactly what you need to know. So this is kind of a primer so that you know everything. You are set. Nothing's going to get past you moving forward here with your next Walt Disney World trip. So joining me to do this, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Happy Good Friday, Ricky. What's going on?
Happy Good Friday. Just getting ready for a semi-quiet Easter here. So going to probably grill some steaks because nothing says Easter like steak.
So aren't you supposed to have ham? We always have ham and deviled eggs, you know, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, it's just me and Brian, and I'm not cooking a ham for the two of us. So I'll make steak.
You know, yay, what the heck?
My grandmother always made lamb. How about lamb? That for huh. Easter?
Oh, yeah. Easter lamb, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
We always go to that honey baked ham store down the street. I mean, they got little ones too. I mean, you could do that for two. They're small.
Yes, but the problem is that neither one of us really likes ham.
Oh, well,
that
that's
much,
a problem. So. Okay, I just can't imagine not having ham on Easter. I mean, it's like every Easter of my life, we always had ham. So
I grew up having ham, but ever since I moved out of St. Louis, I make what I want to eat for Easter, and I want to eat steak.
Well, as boom. Well it should be.
Boom. That's how Ricky rolls. All right. Also joining us from up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Easter, Pam. What's going on?
Happy Easter. I'm just, you know, looking forward to the new spring, right? That's what the promise of Easter brings us, some promise of newness. And I'm hoping new weather is one of the things that's going to be new, I will just say. Yes. We're ready to move on.
Is that not the truth? I mean, I think we're all due a nice Easter Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. I mean, like, we have been, I mean, I'm in the Midwest and it's been rainy. It's been like in the low 40s. I know the Northeast just got hammered by like 17 snowstorms in a row. The South is even chilly for, you know, lately. So I think we're all due just a nice Easter Sunday. Come on, weather. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Anyway, it'll probably be cold and rainy. It'll probably snow now that I said that. So that's how it happens. All right. So we're talking about the incredible summer and moving forward into the fall and the Christmas season with the parties, but mostly the summer today to get you excited for the next Walt Disney World vacation. Of course, Walt Disney World is calling it the incredible summer. tying in with, I believe, the Incredibles 2 movie, which will be coming out, what, in June, Ricky? I don't follow the movies, but I think it is June, right? Blockbuster season, maybe June. Memorial Day. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's the 15th or something like that, actually.
Good stuff. All right. So, you know, lots of stuff going on. Hey, if you're going down to Walt Disney World, there's great specials, room only and packages. So you can save a few bucks on that trip. That's always good. We're trying to do that because we're talking about some things today where you might have to pay a little extra when it comes down to going to Walt Disney World that we weren't, you know, knowing about maybe a month or two ago. But hey, with some of these are opportunities as well. So first of all, we're going to talk about the parking fees. And of course, this has been talked about ad nauseum on a lot of podcasts, but we just want to give you the details, how it's charged, what the charge is each night, just so you know, because it's kind of like that old NBC thing. The more you know, we don't want you being surprised. So Ricky, fill us in on all things parking at your resorts.
All right. So here is what you need to know. So, now that the 21st has come and gone, everybody who now books a room at the Walt Disney World Resort will be charged parking. As a reminder,
if they have a car.
Yes, if you have a car. Yes.
I mean, I'm going.
Not everyone will be charged.
I'm going.
Everyone will be charged parking. Yes. Okay.
Here's the thing. It makes flying make sense a little more. You know what? I'm just saying, like, I'm going down in April and not going to have a car. So I'm figuring that as a savings now.
Who didn't used to fly?
I know. It's weird. It's like Disney wanted to help me out here. It's weird.
I know, right? Okay. All right. Yeah. So it is for those who have cars, which would be like me. So it's only for guests who are staying overnight and with a vehicle. So each resort category will have a different pricing structure per night. And this goes has already gone to effect. Anybody who has their who had their room booked prior to March 21st does not have to pay the parking fee. So if they tell you when you check out, hey, you have to pay a parking fee, and you know you you booked before March 21st, just, you know, politely tell them that you booked before March 21st. So, and they'll be able to look that up and see that. So, the pricing is tiered. So value resorts have to pay $13 per night. Moderate resorts have to pay $19 per night. And deluxe villa resorts pay $24 per night. All parking fees include taxes. And those who are looking to utilize valet parking may now do so for $33 per night. That's at select deluxe resorts. There are two exceptions to the rule of the nightly parking fee. The first one is for guests who are staying at the Fort Wilderness campsites. They are offered complimentary standard parking, at each campsite, and they will have one parking space there. Also, for those who are Disney Vacation Club members who are staying at a Disney Vacation Club deluxe villa, when using points to stay at a Walt Disney World Resort hotel, they will not be charged for overnight parking.
And whether they're paying out of pocket, too, actually.
So. Correct.
So they'll
yes,
have
both. If you're paying out of pocket, yes, exactly.
Still do, as long as you're at a villa, deluxe villa, so...
Got it.
So if so, say I book a trip at Old Key West and I'm not DVC, I'd still have to pay to park, right? In that situation.
Correct.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yes. 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 Parking fees are not going to be part of your package or room only reservation, and the fees are actually charged to your final room bill and must be paid upon checkout. So you can't pay them ahead of time. You have to pay them once you check out. And those who are day guests and are just visiting the resort to dine, shop, recreation, do any entertainment offerings, they will still be offered complimentary self-parking. So that's kind of everything you need to know in a nutshell.
And that's good. That's what we're doing today's show for. You know, just so you have it in your back pocket, you know what to be, you know, to expect. It's charged to your room over, you know, each day, and it's kind of, you pay it on checkout just like you would if you bought a, you know, an icy down at the food court. You know, it just goes against your room. So let's talk about this just real quick. Ricky, you drive a lot. You know, if I was driving, here's what I think, too, off the top. I think it's going to be a boon for Uber and Lyft because, you know what?
Yes.
That's to their in the minivans, obviously. Right. Magical Express is going to become even more popular because you don't want to rent a car, you know, if you don't want to pay extra. You know, there's convenience to it, but you're paying for that convenience now. For me, if I was driving or renting a car, of course, I have to pay this. You know, I can't opt out of it. It's not, you can't do that. But what I would probably do, you know, how is it going to change my Disney vacation? I'd probably not buy some certain souvenir, maybe an iPhone case or something that I, you know, might have splurged on otherwise, you know, because I'm going to get hit with maybe $50 or $60 or $70 worth of parking charges where I might have bought like a monorail playset or something, you know, something frivolous, but it's something that I would enjoy down the line. Ricky, is that kind of how you see this as well?
So, you know, for someone like me, this really is a hit, I have to say. You know, I drive because it's easier for me to drive than to fly a lot of times, especially monetarily. It's definitely a lot cheaper for me to drive than fly. So I'm a person who would get hit with this a lot. And, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. This, to me, makes me think about staying off-site a little bit more because, yeah, a lot of them have parking fees too. And that's something to consider is to make sure if you are going to plan on staying off-site, do look at what different amenities, you know, things that the off-site hotel is going to charge you, because a lot of them do charge resort fees and parking fees as well. But, you know, if you're going to stay at a deluxe resort on Disney property versus, you know, off property and you want that car, you may be paying a little bit less to stay off property, even if you have to pay parking at Walt Disney World to park your car and, you know, when you drive to the resort. It really is one of those things, and I don't want to, you know, sound like a negative Nelly on this, but it really is one of those things where I think personally you need to do the math a little bit more to see how it works in your favor. If you really want to stay at Disney and you're all in to stay at Disney, that's great. You know, I understand completely. But, you know, for someone like me who does drive, unfortunately, staying off site becomes a little more amenable to me. You know, it just based off that and the pricing, it really is. So, I hate to say it, but, you know, I think that's something that is going to be the reality for a lot of people.
Casa del Casey still has free parking?
I agree with that. I understand. I do come at it from the fact that I get to stay at Casa del Casey and also get to stay at Hyatt's for free. However, if I was booking it for myself, I still would look at the math. That's really how I would handle it, is I would look at the math and see what ends up being a better perk, a better way for me to do it.
And I think, you know, it also depends from what part of the country you're traveling from. Because, like, I'm a Midwesterner. Like, we never pay to park unless you're going, like, to the ball game for the Cardinals, you know. And then I'm like, I have a heart attack when I pay $20 to park across the street, you know, for the you know, and I could pay $5 and walk down the street. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, you pay for convenience. And but I think if you're coming from Chicago, New York City, because we went to Chicago last spring break with the Gardeners and had a good time up there. But my goodness, like, the parking at those hotels was ridiculous. But I understand space is at a premium in those urban areas. So, Pam, what do you think about this? Is it going to be for you too, kind of where, you know, you're paying for this, so maybe you don't splurge on like an iPhone case, or, you know, is it just a kind of a pain you have to deal with when you go to Disney now? Is it just, I don't know.
I think it's just something that I'm going to incorporate into the price of where I'm staying. Like, I'll consider it part of that charge, because most of the hotels that we stay at do have a parking charge. I mean, it isn't a rarity. It isn't something that is out of terms with anywhere else really that we stay. It's just another thing. You know, one of the things that Disney doesn't have right now is a resort fee and a parking fee, which most resorts have. There is a resort fee and then the parking fee on top of it. So that's not something that I have to consider. But you know what? This is how it goes. I mean, Disney decided that it wanted to make this change. It did. It will absolutely not deter me from staying on site. I think there are still so many great on-site benefits that for most people, this is going to be a small blip in the screen. I understand it's frustrating. I get that frustration. I don't want to pay it more than anyone else. I mean, I get...
You always have a rental car.
We always have a rental car. So this is absolutely going to impact us. I mean, we just always do. But it's just part of the cost of doing business. You know, it's just part of the cost of going to Walt Disney World or going on vacation. You know, I've said it a few times, but you know, if vacation costs the same as staying at home, you know, we'd be on vacation all the time, right? I mean, what would be the incentive to? It's all absolutely going to cost a little more, but you know, you get something for that cost. I'm guessing that Walt Disney World is just a tad more exciting than your home life. So it offers a few additional opportunities. So, I mean, I think that's in the big picture of things. That's something that you all have to keep in mind.
I agree with Pam. I mean, absolutely. Make sure you add it. And if you are wanting to stay on Disney property and this isn't, you know, is obviously something you're going to have to pay. Make sure that you add it into when you're figuring out the totals of your trip. Make sure you add that in, and instead of, you know, forgetting about it. And then, you know, I think it is a little bit easier to swallow in that regard, too, if you make sure you add it into your budget ahead of time.
I think what stings, though, with this in particular, we're going to get off this topic because, you know, we don't want to beat a dead horse here. Is this that when you're faced with a charge of something that you didn't have last year, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I would have come into the Disney universe and parking was always, you know, it was just you paid to park. You know, every time I went to Pop Century, I paid $5 a night, then went up to $7, then went up to $9, you know, and so forth. I mean, it's just like if you don't have an AP and you're going to the Magic Kingdom, you're not on site, you got to pay to park. You know, it's just that's the way things go. I think what hurts, though, is just when, you know, it was free parking last year. And I understand times change, but I mean, I think that's why everybody's fired up, you know, so I get it. So, all right, let's talk about cute puppies. How about we do that? All right, let's do that. And cockatoos and
you
cats
mean the other
and
hot button
iguanas.
Topic.
I know. Let's do this.
I know, but what's funny about this topic, I think, is very interesting, is that there wasn't a fluff about the charge for this, which, by the way, is way bigger than the charge for parking. So people were just like, either yes, I want this, or no, I don't. But nobody was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this, but it's too expensive. I mean, I guess, just find that very interesting.
Well, I will say, I mean, you do have the option of bringing your pet to Walt Disney World, but you don't have, I mean, you do have the option of not bringing a car, I guess I could say. But like for me, I don't have that option. I have to bring my car. I mean, it's kind of part and parcel. So, I mean, but you don't have to bring your animal, I guess. So anyway,
it was just weird, though.
Yep. We're talking about dog-friendly resorts at Walt Disney World.
That's right. Right. At least until we open up that third-party parking lot out there on iDrive, and you can park, and we'll shuttle you in on the back of a moped.
That's right. We'll shuttle you in.
That's
fine.
What we're going to do. The Be Our Guest moped service is what's going to happen. But, so we're talking about pet-friendly resorts around Walt Disney World. We're going to talk about the charges that you're going to pay each night, how that is charged again to your bill. Like, do you pay it up front? Do you pay it per night? And how these things work. So, Ricky, give us the details if you want to bring Fido to see the mouse, which he's never going to see the mouse. But what's going on?
Well, I mean, you know. All right. So now it's a pilot program at select hotels for guests who'd like to bring their dogs with them. Participating hotels are Disney's Art of Animation Resort, Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and the cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness. Those three charge $50 per night for you to have your pet with you. There's also Disney's Yacht Club Resort, which is charging $75 per night for you to have your pet with you.
I don't like any dog that much. There's no way. $75 a night for a dog. I know I don't have a dog. I don't have a dog, but there is no way. Sorry. That's almost what you pay at Pop Century. Are you kidding me?
Here's one reason why I think it works. And I actually, truthfully, it's something that if I had a dog in this situation, I would consider it. But unfortunately, I have a cat and they don't allow cats. My cat just found out she's diabetic. I have to give her shots twice a day, every 12 hours. So for me, I'm having to pay someone to come give my cat shots twice a day now when I go on vacation every day. So when I add up the total of how much it's going to cost for me to give my cat a shot per day versus bringing her with me and, you know, letting her stay at the hotel with me, I might actually consider bringing her to the hotel. Unfortunately, I can't do it here because it's only dogs, not cats. So, but this is one of those situations. If you had a pet that was sick, ill like that, I would totally bring my dog. I'm not, I mean, you know, that's one of those situations where this would work out in my interest. So, two dogs per room. Dogs must be well behaved. They have to be leashed in public, and they have to be up to date on their vaccinations. Additionally, dog accommodations will be limited to small and specific parts of the resort, each participating hotel. There are maps of dog relief areas, so your dog just can't potty everywhere. At check-in, guests will receive, our dogs will receive a Pluto's welcome kit, which will include a mat, bowls, a pet ID tag, plastic disposable bags, puppy pads, and dog walking maps, as well as a special do not disturb door hanger to notify the hotel staff that the pet is present at the hotel room. That way they're not, you know, walking into the room and going, oh my gosh, there's a dog in here, you know, so that kind of gives them a little bit of a warning. In addition, there is pet daycare services that can be arranged through pet best friend pet care. So if you did have an animal that you brought with you, but you did want to make sure that they had a little extra care, you could take them to the best friend's pet care. So again, I see why people are upset about this, but in my instance, I wish that I actually could take advantage of it because it would be a heck of a lot cheaper than probably paying what I'm going to have to pay to give my cat shots by having somebody come visit my house.
Well, see, I think the thing with the pet friendly hotels is that either you are a pet person or you're not a pet person. And I don't mind dogs, like, but we don't have any pets in this house just because we travel, you know, and we don't want to have the anxiety of boarding the dog or, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, the dog yapping while I'm trying to do a podcast. It just doesn't make sense for us right now. But I get it. I mean, they're a part of the family. So people, like, you know, you either see your dog as like a kid. And so, you know, if you're a dog person, you're going to be like, of course, I'm going to bring him. You know, it's part of the family. You know, Fido is. And if you're not a dog person, you don't want to have a dog yapping next door to you. I mean, because that could happen, too. So I understand why the fervor was as hot as it was. It's kind of cooling down now. But I will say firsthand experience that we stayed at Pop Century back in December for a few nights on that marathon weekend trip at the front of it. And every morning I ran the Hourglass Lake Loop, and Art of Animation is a pet friendly resort, you know, so I was, you know, kind of curious how this is going to work out. You know, I'm going to see all these dogs out taking their morning, you know, break, I guess you could say potty break out there, and see how this all works, you know, because I was out there for a good hour and 20 minutes running around and checking things out. I saw one dog, you know, the entire time that I was there, you know, and I would think that, and I was out there early in the morning. I think that's when you'd want to take your dog out after a long night, you know, get him out there and let him use the restroom. So it wasn't, when I saw this in my mind's eye, and I think this is how we are as Disney fans. I think this is how we are as humans, that when you hear news like this, I saw, like, you know, like 101 Dalmatians out on the grass at Art of Animation, you know, and everybody's, you know, peeing and pooping. And it was just like, oh, man, you're going to smell that across the lake at Pop Century. You know, you get the worst case scenario in your mind's eye. And it wasn't that. I think what it is going to come down to, though, is that Disney will have to police this to make sure that it does not interfere with anybody's vacation that doesn't have a pet, even other people that do have pets. I think everybody deserves a quiet room, and everybody needs to be respectful when you bring those animals with you, those dogs. You need to just make sure, just like you would, like when I have my kids, you know, like I don't want them disturbing anybody because we're all there to have a good time. Nobody wants to be disturbed. I think it's all about respect. So Pam, what do you think about the pet policy, and where do you fall in this?
So I understand that people want to take their dogs on vacation. I mean, I understand they want to. I don't quite understand the wanting to do it, but I understand that some people want to do it. It doesn't seem like a super fun vacation for the dog, especially when so many folks are, you know, in the parks all day. But everyone vacations differently. If this is what people want to do, that's fine with me. My initial thought about it at first was that I'm allergic to dogs. So if I'm going to be placed in a room where there was a dog, that would impact my vacation negatively. And I may not know it for, like, it may take me until that first night to know it. Like, I might, you know how when you travel, sometimes you get a stuffy nose or your eyes are, you know, whatever, you have different allergens. By midnight of the first night I was sleeping in that room, I would know. And there would be no question about it. So that would really impact my vacations. Supposedly, they have made it so that that won't happen to people. If you put in a request, if you note that you are allergic to dogs, they will assist with this to make sure that you aren't placed in a room like that. I will also say, though, when you tell me that when the dog checks in, it's getting a care pack that includes pet pads, I'm also a little worried. I don't want the dog, even with a little pet pad, going to the bathroom in the room. I just don't. And so, again, another reason why I really don't want to stay in these rooms. Again, nothing against whoever wants to bring their dog. I understand people have different relationships with their dog. They want the dog, you know, they want to be able to travel with the dog. I completely understand that. I'm just saying, from my perspective, these are the things that concern me with that. As long as Disney is addressing those issues, as long as they're using that extra charge to make sure that room is really clean for the next guest, whether they have a dog or not, I'm you know, happy that there are two options and options that meet everyone's needs. They're not my needs, but I'm glad they're meeting somebody else's needs.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of how I see life. You know, I don't agree. Like, everybody's got, you know, there's so many issues in the world and you fall on one side or the other on a lot of these issues. And just because I don't agree with the other side doesn't mean the other side shouldn't have the right to exercise, you know, their right there. I just, you know, I choose to not participate in that. It doesn't need, I don't need to outlaw it. You know, I think a lot of folks, like, if you don't agree with things, you want to, you know, just make, you know, huge sweeping changes. I'm just not going to do it, you know, and I hope. But the thing is, I think everybody needs to be respectful of each other, that you don't want it to interact or interrupt or disturb anybody else's vacation. Like you said, I mean, I hope Disney's not using this as an additional revenue stream. Like you said, they need to take that extra money that they're getting. And that has to be used to make sure that room is clean for the next guest. I mean, that's just bottom line. That's my thoughts. You know, it's not just like an additional like, it's not like the dog's an additional guest. Just like, you know, if you had an extra adult in the room, like, that's, you know, that's one of the things that bugs me. You know, like when Paige was 18 and she was, you know, we were paying more for the room, you know, like, there's no difference to Disney whether she's 17 or 18. Yet we're paying more. You know, it's like, that's a money, you know, they're getting money for nothing.
That's also a money grab.
Yeah,
yes,
it is.
Yes.
I mean, I'm trying not to use the word money grab, but it is, you know. And I hope that with the pets, they're reinvesting that and cleaning those carpets a little better and just, you know, just giving a little more TLC.
So anyway, well, it's hardwood floor now, so.
Through that. All right, so let's get to the next thing. Let's talk really quickly about, let's hit the parties real quick, Ricky. I mean, we can't talk about all the dates, but Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Parties. Tickets are now on sale. Party dates have been announced. Halloween party going for over 2 months. Is that right, Ricky? Starting in August?
2.5.
Woo, man, happy Halloween.
August 17th is the first date, so if you'd like to sweat.
So
that's going to be the date to go to.
Oh, man. Yeah, please, please. I don't even know what you dress as. You do not want to be Sully. You don't want to be Captain EO.
No.
Not even pirates.
Do a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Trying to think of something that, like, wears a bikini. That's what you'd want to be at the party on August 17th, even if you're deep.
Wow.
So I'm just saying.
You want to be Ariel.
Cool. Yeah, that's it.
Jasmine,
that's it.
Ariel. Yeah.
Yeah, Jasmine. There you go. All right, so Ricky, so looking at the party dates and the ticket prices and things like that, and maybe some changes to the party. I know they haven't announced a lot of that yet, but just give us a summary. What are you seeing?
So yeah, so the dates are select dates from August 17th through October 31st. If you are going to want to go to that October 31st date, do make sure you buy tickets ahead of time because that one does sell out. It hasn't sold out maybe as quickly in the past, like last year it didn't sell out as quickly as it had past years, but just know that if you want to make sure you go on that date, it does sell out. Actually, and another weird date that sells out a lot of times is that August, is that first date, because a lot of people want to go there because it's the first date. So, you know, just
crazy.
Keep that in mind too.
That's crazy. August. Come
on
now, people.
I know. It's crazy. So anyway, the party lasts from 7 p.m. till 12 in the morning. You've got the Boots to You parade. You've got Happy Hallowishes fireworks. So far you've got, you know, all the trick or treating, you've got dance parties, of course. It's, just a fun night. Ticket pricing, you can do advance purchase tickets, and you can do day of tickets. The day of tickets are a little more expensive. So I would absolutely suggest, if you're planning on going, make sure you buy your tickets ahead of time just to save a little bit of money. Also to make sure that you are getting the tickets and that the party doesn't end up selling out and you're bummed when you get there. So pricing goes anywhere. This includes tax from $78.88 for adults and $74.55 for children ages 3 to 9, all the way up to the premium price on Halloween of $133.13 for adults and $110.76 for children. So there are annual pass holder ticket discounts, as well as DVC member discount tickets. They're only for select nights. They're not for all the nights, especially as you lead up to Halloween. They stop offering those discounts too. So just make sure that you know that. And I know that if you're DVC, you have to buy the tickets through member services. And if you're an annual pass holder, you need to buy it through the pass holder site. So that's what you need to know about that. Do you want me to move on to Mickey's Very Merry, or do you want to ask me a few more questions about Mickey's Not So Scary?
No, well, real quick, I'm just saying, right now, as of the time we're recording, you know, of course, this always changes. Like, if we ever say, as of the time we're recording, it always changes by the time the show releases. But you got to call your tickets in when you're buying them. But later in the year, we expect that you can order these online. If history serves. That's how it works in the test.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they have to be called in online here for the first few weeks, and then it will likely go to where you can book your tickets online. So,
and then a lot of people ask, you know, what you get a confirmation number. You can put that into My Disney Experience, and then basically the tickets are on your bands because the bands pull in from your My Disney Experience. So that's, you'll get physical tickets in the mail, but you don't. I mean, it's just like when you buy Magic Your Way tickets, you type in the confirmation number, you're set. You still get the plastics, but you don't really need them. All right. So Ricky, when's that first, because everybody tries to do that, go on October 31st and still see a Christmas party during their trip. So when's that first party?
So you'll have to stay a little longer, I feel like, because there's not a Halloween party on the 1st this year, because typically they would have, a lot of times they have a Halloween party on November 1st, and then they'll move into the Christmas party about a week later. But the first Christmas party is not until November 8th. So for those of you who will be there for Wine and Dine, you'll get to experience the Christmas party. But it lasts until December 21st. So again, not as many dates as the Halloween party, but that's because, you know, you have a little less time to experience this party versus the Halloween party. I mean, you know, they can't start this party any earlier in the year. I'm sure that they wish they could, but they can't. So, again, parties, nights are from 7 p.m. until 12 a.m. You get to see Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, Holiday Wishes, fireworks show. You've got, again, dance parties. You've got cookies that they give away, hot chocolate. They sometimes do, I think last year they had like a pretzel. They had snow cones that they were giving away. So lots of fun food options there. Party tickets with tax for advance purchase tickets, the cheapest is going to be $105.44 for adults ages 10 and up, and $100.11 for children ages 3 to 9. That's kind of the interesting thing that I find about the Christmas party versus the Halloween party is the tickets are actually substantially a little bit more expensive for the Christmas party than they are for the Halloween party. So that's something to consider too, if you're debating which party to go to. And then the most expensive tickets are going to be on December 21st, which is going to be $133.13 for adults and $110.76 for children. Again, there are advanced purchase discounts. These are the advanced purchase prices discounted. There's also going to be a day of tickets. Again, those are going to be a little more expensive, so just keep that in mind. Again, there are also going to be annual pass holder and Disney Vacation Club discounted tickets as well. And again, those dates do vary and are not every date of the Halloween or the Christmas party, so just keep that in mind too.
Yeah, I find it interesting though that the again, it's supply and demand. There's less Christmas parties, so I guess that's why it's kind of like a cruise line, you know, less staterooms, the greater the price kind of thing. But I find the Halloween party to be superior to the Christmas party. Both are fun, but the Halloween party, I think you get more for your money.
I absolutely do too. So, I think that's the better option if you're really debating it this year.
All right, Pam, any thoughts on the Christmas and Halloween? It's Good Friday. We're already talking about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. What's wrong with this world? We're Disney-fied is what we are. What's up? What do you think about the parties?
They came out earlier than ever this year, which I think is really interesting that they decided to do that. I always like the parties. I think that they just add a little something extra to whatever holiday you're celebrating. Although I tend to like the Halloween party, you know, a little more as well. I think that I would pay the $100 just to be able to hang out in the Magic Kingdom with holiday music playing for a while. I really would. There's just something about that puts me in the holiday spirit. And I enjoy both parties so much. The fireworks, awesome. The parades, awesome. The treats, both, you know, I think both offer their own appeal for that too. And I think just having extra time to spend in those parks, I think is just such a cool option. So we still really like them. Nighttime's always the best time for a theme park. So,
All right. Let's jump into Pirates. The redhead has taken a new job in Pirates of the Caribbean over in Adventureland. She went down for refurb and it looks like she went and changed things up a little bit. So I think a lot of us have seen this online. I did watch it. I didn't want to watch it because I hate spoilers. I like to see things for the first time in person, but I kind of did. It was everywhere, and it's quick, so you really, boom, you saw it, and it was over. So, Ricky, what are your thoughts on the redhead? She's not being auctioned off anymore. She's more of a, she's kind of like you and Pam. She's a strong, powerful, she's not a podcaster, but she's a strong woman now.
She is a strong woman now. I agree with that.
She could have a podcast.
She could. She could. Yeah. No, you know, I'm one of them who I kind of was sad about hearing when I heard about the change, just because it was that classic Disney, you know, that scene was just iconic. I mean, everybody knew about that scene, you know, even if you hadn't ever been to Walt Disney World, you know, you've seen that redhead scene. So it was just one of those things that, you know, that's kind of one of those, when you picture in your mind Walt Disney World, to me, that was one of the things that I always pictured for sure. So I was a little sad. I mean, I understood why they were making the change, but you know, I was a little sad because that was the attraction, you know. So it kind of changed the theme of the attraction in a little way. But with all that said and done, I think they did a nice job overall with it. I do think, you know, I think that they probably could have left in like "We wants the redhead" instead of "Now we wants the rum." You know, they could have just been, you know, been saying not necessarily that they wanted her, but you know, they wanted, you know, the way they used to, but they, you know, just in a different way. Whatever she's offering, you know, she's got the rum, so they could still say, you know, "We wants the redhead." But you know, I don't think it's so bad. I do think she looks amazing in the sense that she is fluid as all get out now. Oh my goodness. Like, she moves like crazy, which is so fantastic to see, that, you know, she's got such a range of movement now. You know, it is what it is. So I can't, you know, I can't be that upset about it. I'm still going to go ride Pirates. So
yeah, I know, me too. I'm going to ride Pirates. I mean, things change. And I mean, because Pirates has changed over the years. You know, the Pirates used to chase the women.
I still don't love
Captain
Jack Sparrow in there, yeah. But, you know, he's in there. So, but, I mean, he does okay, but, you know.
Let me ask you this, Ricky.
There are parts of it that I'm just like, okay, that's enough Captain Jack.
Yeah. I got to ask you this, though. Do you think the redhead at one point had residency over at Disney's Hollywood Studios and at a GMR? Do you think? From the pictures, do you think maybe she had an alternate address at one point?
I do. I do believe, you know, I've seen the photos, obviously, of the comparisons. And I do wonder if she may have had another life at another time. I also wonder if, and this is purely my speculation and not anything I've heard, so please take this with a grain of salt. But because of how fluid she is, I wonder if she was at one time the Wicked Witch, because she was exceptionally fluid. So that was kind of she may be an amalgamation of two Great Movie Ride things. Again, that one is just my guess. I haven't heard anything about that, but she's pretty darn fluid for being a new AA. So
we're not saying anything. We're just saying she might be friends with short people and Tarzan. I'm just, that's all
she
I'm saying.
She might be.
That's all I got. So Pam, what are your thoughts on the changes to Pirates? I mean, it's a beloved Disney attraction, but it has changed over the years.
It is, and actually Pirates is absolutely one of my favorite Disney attractions of all times. So when I had first heard about it, I was a little maybe disappointed in that. But then, you know, as we move forward here, and when I saw her, really that disappointment was gone. I still feel like it really fits in with the theme of the attraction. They did a good job in, you know, incorporating that into the existing theme. She looks good. She doesn't lose any of her sassiness.
No, she does not.
Right? She might have gained a little sassy.
She's gained a little sassy, yes.
So, you know, I'm willing to go with it. I'm happy that the attraction is still there. I'm happy that it's still a beloved attraction. I'm happy that people have such a strong opinion either way, because if not, it wouldn't be an attraction that, you know, got as much press as it did and was still considered a headliner attraction. So, you know, I'm content with where it is right now. I have no big complaints on this one.
You know, that's a great point to bring up, Pam, that when people have really hot opinions, you know, strong opinions on things, that's a great thing, because if they made this change and nobody said a word, well, what kind of fervor do you have for that attraction? You know, that's a good point.
It's true. I never want to see, I mean, Pirates is something that I hope will be there forever. I really do. And I hope that they will continue to make changes to keep it topical or keep it relevant, or for whatever reason they want to, that people respond to. And so I hope that I live to see Pirates go through 20 more changes.
All right. So as we wrap up here, we are recording live here on Facebook. Again, we do this every Monday, most Mondays. And so just drop in about 5:30 Eastern on the Facebook page for the Be Our Guest podcast and check us out live. As we close out here, Dan Cisneros out in New Mexico, I believe, Tale of the Tape, Disney Tale of the Tape author. Ricky's asking about Night of Joy. He's heard that it might not be back this year. Is that, do you know anything on this? I'm just dropping it on you here, spur of the moment. What
I
do you know?
See that. I actually haven't heard anything about Night of Joy not returning, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not. So I'm researching as we speak the best I can. Let's see here. It does look like at least the Facebook page still exists. So I know for Night of Joy. But I don't know. I can see them potentially doing away with it. I did look it up on the Disney website. It's not listed anymore as an option. I really don't know. I do know. Here's another thing that kind of throws a monkey in the wrench. I do know that Universal, they have their own version of Night of Joy type situation. And they did announce their dates. And I think their dates were the same weekend that Walt Disney World used to be, if it's not taking place at Walt Disney World this year. So, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. This is really the first that I've heard of it as a potential, not coming back.
And that's a fall event typically, right? September?
It is. Yeah, Night of Joy takes place usually on a Friday and Saturday in September. Traditionally, it's like that first Saturday or Sunday of September after Labor Day weekend. And what it is, for those who don't know, or I guess maybe was, I don't know at this point, is it was a Christian concert and fellowship and it used to be at the Magic Kingdom, and they moved it over to ESPN Wide World of Sports a couple years ago, actually. So in order to, I think, probably give guests a little bit more of an experience, kind of thing, maybe more fellowship and music. I don't know, but that's super interesting, to be perfectly honest, that they haven't, especially because they did announce, the Halloween party and stuff like that.
I'm
pulling up the Night of Joy Facebook page and it doesn't exist either anymore. So
that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign when you've been deleted.
That's not a good sign when it doesn't exist. So you know what? I'm going to say Night of Joy might be over. Just taking a guess in the dark there. So
we'll keep you updated here, though. We'll keep you updated if we find anything out. Either way,
the removal of the Facebook page is probably not a good sign.
Maybe it's just down for refurbishment, and it's going to come back with a sassy attitude. Who knows? All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. It's kind of different, but we just wanted to give you some more of that in-depth information, hopefully to make your next trip better. Think about, moving forward the rest of 2018 and getting those things on the burner there. So thanks for joining us today. Today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Don't forget, we announced this on Wednesday. We are now booking Marathon Weekend 2019 rooms. We got great rooms, Pop Century, Riverside, Caribbean Beach, Beach Club, Polynesian. The rates are so hot, we're not allowed to announce them here on the podcast, but you can just drop by the magicforless.com for more details. You can drop me a line, mike@beourguestpodcast.com. I can get you those rates right away, and we'll get you set up with the best rooms at the best rates for Marathon Weekend. Even if you're not running, this is a cheer group, so if you just want to go down and cheer on your family members, your friends, hey, do that. It's a great weekend to be there, lots of fun. So just get in contact with the Magic for Less .com. Don't forget, you can support the show through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We do that online shopping. We sure appreciate that. And if you don't mind, this Easter weekend, if you're just, once you've had your ham or your steak, in Ricky's case, or your lamb in Pam's case, whatever it is, whatever you eat, maybe it's pizza, whatever suits you, give us an iTunes and a Stitcher rating and review. We appreciate that. It helps us spread the word on the show. And I haven't asked for that in quite a while. So again, those ratings and reviews over on iTunes really do help out. So if you could do that this weekend, we'd really appreciate that. All right. So we're going to get out of here and we'll be back again on Monday. If we hear any news about, any upcoming fees or anything like that, we'll let you know right away. It's why we're kind of doing these shows, to just keep you, we're not really a new show, but we just want to give you the information as we have it. So we'll always break in if we have anything new and exciting. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, have fun with your friends and family over this Easter weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Father looked down to his son. Yeah.